Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, a little bit later in the day, but nevertheless, I'm holding this show at 11 o'clock at night. Sometimes it's 6:30, sometimes at 8, sometimes at 9:30, sometimes at 10, sometimes at 11, and tonight at 11 at night. And this show is something that you should all listen to, because you're going to get the truth and the facts and nothing but the truth and the facts. What I'm going to talk about today, I have an MDiv in theology from Princeton Theological Seminary in biblical languages, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, and theology, and I am quite an aficionado of Christian thought on every level. And this show is a Christian show. That doesn't mean I exclude anybody else. I know that Jesus died and cast down his life for all men and women, so I welcome all people, all races, all nations, all peoples, all persons. And tonight, let me give you a little preview of what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm going to talk about the issue is, are we to only take the Bible literally, or can it be understood in some other way? Before I do that, I'm giving you the topic, the literal interpretation of the Bible, and I'm going to talk about that in this show. We're going to be on for 60 minutes. But most of all, I'm going to give you a background about myself, where I am coming from in this confused, evil, wicked world that I know is possibly ending, or at least my life is ending very soon. I'm aware of it, and I commit myself to the mercies and love of Christ, as well as all humanity. This show is a politically incorrect show. We're not out for political correctness. We're not out for political rhetoric. We're not out for left-wing ideological thinking. We're not in for media hype, media falsehoods, or the big lie. We're not interested in those things. We're interested in truth and facts, intellectual honesty, and honest discernment. We're out to get use our critical faculties to get the facts and the truth. And that's what this show is all about, getting at the facts and getting at the truth. Next, I want to tell you that it's a Christian show. I'm a Christian, and I'm not changing that position. Even whatever other people may say, whatever other religions may present, I'm still sticking to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, as offering eternal life to all men and women, whoever they are in this world. He cast down his life for all men and women, and gay, whoever they are, he wants them to be with him and share the joy of eternal life in heaven. He wants all men, and he wills all men and women to be saved. All races, all nations, all persons, whatever their orientation, he wants them with him in heaven and offers them his salvation. I'm a Christian. I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Each word is verbally inspired for me, and Christ speaks to me through every word of the Bible every day that I read it. And I adhere to the creeds of the Church, the ancient creeds, Nicene, Athanasian, and Apostles' Creed. I adhere to those creeds and believe them, and they are the guides of my life. And third, I read Christian books because these books bring me to truth. Could be T.S. Eliot, The Idea of a Christian Society, could be G.K. Chesterton, could be Bonhoeffer, could be Calvin, could be Luther, could be John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress, or his very great spiritual autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, a very great book. I can name more, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, St. Paul's epistles, all of them are greatness, have greatness in them, and if we read them, we will be uplifted and raised up in our minds and spirits, which is what a great book can do for you. It can raise you up. A non-great book, a superficial piece of nonsense, will pull you down. immeasurably. You want to be raised up, you'll read the books I talk about, whether War and Peace, whether Resurrection, whether Howard's End by E.M. Forster, or whether the war, whether Lord Jim by Joseph Conrad, or Jane Austen's novels, or George Eliot's work. Whatever work you talk about, these books will raise you up immeasurably. Next, I want to talk about something else. This show has a political emphasis, but the politics, I am conservative in general on certain issues such as abortion and gay marriage. But on the other hand, I also take a left-wing liberal position in concern for the poor and underprivileged. I'm very concerned about poor people. Jesus chose his disciples, working men, not well-educated people, not wealthy people, but the poor, essentially. It was said of him, who is this man that eats with publicans and sinners? It was said of him, whoever can anything good can have Nazareth. He himself took on poverty in becoming a human being and lived a life of poverty. He said to the rich young man, if you want to have eternal life, give up your goods, and he couldn't do it. Poverty is something Jesus doesn't tell. He doesn't want people poor, but he does say that it could be effective for you in your life. He is certainly not endorsing poverty, but he's saying that riches can be a barrier, spiritual, and to faith. He says that, and he says that poverty, in some sense, can raise you up in some level, on a spiritual level. Next, I would like to tell you that I'm running two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show, the present one. The podcast show is over 4,400 visitors, and also the blog talk growers had many visitors from many Arab countries and Muslim countries. I'm pleased to say that our Muslim brothers and sisters go to these shows despite their Christian orientation. They're intelligent. They're open-minded. They're acute in their thinking. And they don't reject Jesus because nobody can reject Jesus. Nobody can defeat Jesus. Nobody can reject Jesus. He will rule and rule and rule the world to the end of time. I have to say that I have an Iranian philosophy student, my great friends within Iran, who apparently had great liking for my Christian books. I have these radio shows, our Christian radio shows, blog talk radio show, podcast show, and I welcome all races and all nations and all peoples, because I know that Jesus loves them with love, with unconditional love, and offers them salvation without question. He gives everything. He loves them. He wishes them to be with him in heaven. And as he said in a letter of Timothy, he wills that all men and women of all races and all faiths and all religions be saved and be with him in the joy of heaven. Next, I have written 10 books, legal books and theological books, two legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and I've written Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables. I recommend reading the parables. There's 41 of them. They're pretty good because they reveal the mind and thinking of Christ, and you will never go wrong in listening to the words of Christ and his mind and what he advises us how to live in these parables. This book is an interpretation of 41 parables, and I think it's worth your while to take a look at it and read it. I've also written a book on the Psalms, an interpretation of 150 Psalms. The Psalms are the spiritual manna of the church. John Donne, the great English poet and clergyman, said they were the manna of the church. He wasn't kidding. They are top-drawer thinking. They are spiritual. They are spiritual advice, and they are great literary works in Hebrew. I read them in Hebrew in college, in seminary, and they are very great. They're literary treasures and spiritual treasures, and I can't stop reading them, and no one should stop reading the Psalms. The day you stop reading the Psalms is the day you will destroy your mind and not develop it. Reading the Psalms raises you up as a human being. Any great book raises you up as a human being. And the Psalms particularly are particularly wonderful in their presentation of God and Christ and his thoughts in these Psalms. I've written other books. I'm writing a book on four blogs that I have preparing. I'm also reading a book on the Psalm in the Miracles in the Bible, and that's partially completed. I'm writing a book on the Book of Job. Job was an Edomite and came from a Greek background, but he was a very great piece of work. And I wouldn't advise you to miss any of these for the world. They will raise you. They will raise your consciousness. They will raise your mind. They will make you bigger and more significant in thinking than you could ever perhaps wish to be. Next, I have this book on the Psalms, and the Psalms, I challenge you to say which you'll tire of more in the Psalms in English translation, or Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment in an English translation, or Tolstoy's War and Peace in an English translation. You will not tire of the Psalms, I can guarantee that, but you may tire of those books very easily. You will not at all, very easily, if at all, once reading the Psalms, you will have them as your permanent literary and intellectual treasures. Next, I've written a book on the New York Family Law and Practice, a chapter on paternity. I've written a chapter in a legal encyclopedia in New York Jurisprudence on criminal law demands and notices. I've written a chapter in Bender's Consolidated Evidence called Res Gestae. I've written three very extensive law review articles, one the Syracuse Law Review in Criminal Procedure. It's been bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. And also I've written two articles for Academicus on the United States educational system and its failure for our young people. And I also have written a book on the sexual orientation discrimination. I abhor discrimination in any form. It's hate. It's terrible. I don't want any part of it. Even though I may disagree with the moral stance of our gay brothers and sisters, I know Jesus loves them and wants them to be with him in heaven, sharing the joy and love that he offers to all humanity. That's about what I have to say these days, these nights. And next I'm going to talk about, can we understand the Bible in other than a literal sense? The Bible is a very, very great book, and when reading it is something you will never tire of reading. And so the issue comes up, is the Bible, I've had two people say to me, it's a bunch of fairy tales, it's a bunch of myths. One cab driver said that in Amsterdam, Holland. Another colleague in Nassau County said that to me. And so they tell me the Bible is nothing to them. It's nonsense, it's mythology, it's fairy tales, they don't believe it. But not only do I believe the Bible to be extremely relevant and pointed in its thinking, but I also think that after we understand the Bible, we have to take it at its valuation in a literal sense. For many people in our secular society, the Bible is a largely irrelevant series of fanciful stories. This approach to the Bible does not understand fully what the Bible wants to tell us, what it wants to communicate. The Bible assumes and tells us there's a God in another realm and the existence of the supernatural. So the Bible tells us that there is a God, that he is in some supernatural existence, and it tells us of the existence of the supernatural beyond the material world we live in. The Bible informs us of God's actions in human history, from the beginning of the creation of the world to the events in the Gospels to the death and resurrection of Christ. So not only does the Bible want to tell us about God in another supernatural realm and the existence of the supernatural, but more important, the Bible informs us of God's actions and interventions in human history from the beginning of the world to the events of the gospel and the death and resurrection of Christ. There are a number of ways in this information that the Bible tells us about God and his supernatural realm and his actions and interventions in human history, the gospel events and the death and resurrections. But there are a number of ways that people see and seek to understand the Bible and these events. Some don't see it at all and see it as largely irrelevant nonsense. Yes, some people don't see any point in it and see it, what I just described to you, as largely irrelevant nonsense. Be with their lives, with their latest car, and their current girlfriend. So, yes, there are a group of people who see the Bible, understand it, but some don't see it that way at all, and they see it as largely irrelevant. There are happy enough people with their lives, their latest car, and their current girlfriend. There's another group of people who read the Bible as literature. They're a fairly small group. I think they approach the Bible from the wrong angle. The Bible is not meant to be read as literature, but as a religious book. So, there are a group of people who see the Bible and understand it to some extent, but don't see it. Some don't see the point at all about it and see it as largely irrelevant. There are reasonably happy folks with their latest car and their current girlfriend. There's another group of people who may read the Bible as literature. They're not a very large group, and I don't think they should be, because I think they approach the Bible from the wrong angle. They're not really seeing the point. The point was Bible was not meant to be read as literature, but as a religious book showing the existence of God and his actions in human history from the beginning of the world and the gospel events to the death and resurrection of Christ. I now come to the issue that I present here. What I want to talk about is whether the Bible is to be taken absolutely literally. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. Quite frankly, I see no other way to understand and approach the biblical message. The Bible is the most widely read book in the world and is in fairly constant demand, and it has been read and reread for the past 3,000 years. If the Bible were not read and understood in a literal sense, it would have been discarded long ago. So, is the Bible to be taken literally? I say to you, there's no other way to understand it. The Bible is the most widely read book in the world and is in tremendous demand. It has been read and reread for the past 3,000 years. If the Bible were not read and understood in a literal fashion, it would have been discarded long ago. So let's continue with the Bible, only understanding it literally. Many people reject the Bible along with other old books and literature as not relevant or current. It's true. Many reject the Bible along with other older literature as not relevant or current. They think you're wasting your time with this older stuff. This group may not even see relevance in the Greek tragedies or Jane Austen or George Eliot or Charles Dickens or William Makepeace Thackeray or E.M. Forster or any of these people. They may not see relevance in the older books and literature. And they may discard it and reject it along with the Bible and other old books and literature. These people, their thought process on old books and the Bible is fed by some process of absorption from the media and television. The Bible demands that we take a quite different approach, and it demands that we understand it on its face. But I do think that we can only understand the Bible as on its face, as communicating us something on a literal level. And that is the only way we can understand the biblical message. What does the Bible say that really is literal and and compelling in its message. The Bible sees people as fallen, what they should be, and sees them as failed and in need of restoration. The Bible sees people as fallen and evil and wicked and in sin from what they should be, and sees them as failed and in need of restoration. So I read the Bible, and the Bible presents to me literally what God has to say about humanity, about human actions in history, about the meaning of life, and the possible outcome of myself as a person. The Bible tells me a lot of things. It tells it on a literal, factual level. It tells me that I'm a fallen person, and that I'm a failed person in need of help and restoration. So I read the Bible to find out literally what God has to say about me and humanity and human action history and the meaning of life and the end of life and me as a person. The Bible is not read as literature. The Bible is not read as literature. There is no, or beyond that, there's no point in reading it at all. It would be the same as reading Shakespeare and not understand what he is saying literally. Really, this is true of any kind of books. Not to understand the literal sense of the book is not to understand the book at all. The Bible is not meant to be read as literature, but there's really no, unless you read it literally and its message and absorb its message, there's no point in reading it at all. It would be the same as reading Shakespeare and not understand what he's saying literally, or reading Dickens and not understand what he's saying literally, or George Eliot and not understand what she's saying literally, or T.S. Eliot and not understand what he is saying literally. We have to understand any book in a literal sense. It's true of any kind of book. Not to understand the literal sense of the book is not to understand that book at all. That's true of the Bible. The Bible must be taken as literal because it will always convey to us and supersede any temporary fads or fashions. The Bible must be taken literally because it demands that we think about what it has to say. This is not a bunch of symbols or myths or fairy tales. The Bible, we must take the Bible in a literal sense, and it will always forever supersede any fads or fashion. The Bible says things that are amazing and challenge us significantly and do it on a literal level. The Bible tells us the poor are blessed, and the Bible advises us to give away our material goods. Either you take the statement that the poor are blessed and give away your goods, or understand that you should give away your goods, or either one takes these statements literally or choose not to. I'm really not embarrassed about believing the literal truth of the book. It's like any other book. I'm in the company of millions of people for the last 3,000 years who have read the Bible for what it has to say and nothing more. In reading it, we are given the choice of rejecting its content, being indifferent to it, or accepting it and applying it. I don't see any alternative but to take it as it is, its face value. The Bible, either we take it literally, or you think about what it says, or choose not to. So I'm not embarrassed about believing the literal truth of the Bible, since I'm in the company of hundreds of millions of people for the past 3,000 years. In short, to read the Bible is to read what it says and nothing more. And what it says is the poor are blessed, which says a lot of things of that character, which we have to deal with on a literal level. And in reading it, we are given the choice of either accepting its contents, ignoring it, being different to it, or accepting and applying it. I see no other alternative. To approach the Bible in an attempt to explain or read away its core or interpret away its contents is taking the wrong road. To not understand the Bible in a literal sense, an attempt to explain or read away core or interpret away its contents is taking the wrong path. I realize people may disagree with me on that, and I have no difficulty with that, but I have anyone who has any person I have difficulty with who says that the literal sense of the Bible has no meaning, that long after I am deceased, there will be all people all over the world reading the Bible until the end of time. To approach the Bible and attempt to explain or read away its core or its contents is taking the wrong road. I realize people may disagree with me about this, and I have no difficulty with that, but I have difficulty with anyone who says that the Bible and its literal interpretation has no meaning, since I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, long after I die and will be deceased, and I'm deceased, there will be people all over the world reading the Bible on its face and literal understanding. The issue of the literal understanding found in the Bible is found in Acts chapter 10. Peter specifically states in Acts that they were witnesses to all that Jesus did, both in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They were witness to his death and resurrection, and that the apostles were chosen by God as witnesses who ate and drank with Jesus after the resurrection. These statements of Peter in the book of Acts are statements of history, and the apostles, and they say the apostles were witnesses to the events in the gospel. So the literal understanding is found, to understand it literally, is found in Acts chapter 10. Peter specifically states that they were witnesses to all that Jesus did in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They were witness to his death and resurrection, and the apostles were chosen by God as witnesses who ate and drank with Jesus after his resurrection. These statements of St. Peter in the book of Acts are statements of history, and the apostles were witnesses, and say the apostles were witnesses of events in the gospel. Again, in the second letter of St. Peter, chapter 1, verse 16, St. Peter makes clear the literal understanding of the biblical events. He says the apostles did not follow myths, but were eyewitnesses to the majesty of Christ. These statements of St. Peter in the book of Acts and again his own letter rest no doubt on a historical and literal understanding attached to the biblical events. I'm going to close this talk at this point, and I will probably go over it again tomorrow. But I think that to conclude, the Bible must be understood in a literal sense because it tells us about God's actions in human history. And to understand history is to understand facts. To understand facts is not to understand myths. It's not to understand lies, but it's to understand literal true statements of fact and truth, which is what the Bible is all about. I hope you've enjoyed this talk, and I will be hitting this again tomorrow night on this issue. Good night.